Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about how faith reaches out. The reach of faith is where we want to go today. Is it ready to go up? Yes or no? It is? There you go. Let's see if this is going to work for me today. Yay, it's great. Look at this. We're going to review just a minute or two, and then we're going to be talking about how we can expand the faith that we have in other areas of our life. This is over in Hebrews 4. It says, therefore, let us fear lest, while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to come short of it. So this word says that you can come short of the rest, and we know that the children of Israel did. And he says, for indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, talking about Israel, but the word that they heard, did not profit them. Here's the kicker. You can hear a word, and the word is great, but it's left up to you whether it's going to profit you or not. Amen? And that's what the word says, that it did not profit them because it was not united by faith, with faith, in those who heard it. The faith in those who heard it. It was not united with the word that they heard. So we can hear a lot of words, but unless our faith is at a place to where we latch hold of that word and say, it's true, it's mine, it's truly what God said, and I'm going to live this out, and I'm going to walk this out, and I want my life to demonstrate this word. And that's the faith that it takes to be at rest in the word. At rest, even though the chaos is all around us. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, the rhema of Christ. That word word is rhema, which means, we discussed this the other week, which means that it is the speaking of God in the scriptures causing it to be alive to you. Yeah, when he says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that, what's the next word? Proceedeth, the one that keeps on coming, the word that keeps on coming. You live by that. See, our life should be connected to the living word. This is the Logos, but it can be a dead letter to people who do not believe. It can be just a dead letter. It's just words. But when the Holy Spirit breathes on them and gives you that rhema word, and you hear God speak to you concerning that word or that verse or that chapter, then it becomes a rhema word to you that you can actually have faith imparted to you because of it. So faith comes by the hearing of God speak to you, the word of Christ. Faith, we talked about this the other week. This is a definition of faith. To be won over with full and firm persuasion of the reality spoken by God. So it is to be overtaken with persuasion that God, the reality that he spoke, is in you. It's with you. So it wins you over. See, it's not a doubt. It's not, well, I don't think. I think, well, no, it's not. That's not just a think so. It's a know so. It's a persuasion that is full and firm. So we need to understand that our faith needs to be demonstrated that way. All right? So that thing about being won over is like being overtaken. Have you ever had a word to just overtake you? Have you ever had a word to all of a sudden that word just you just overtook you and you had faith. You almost had faith for, felt like you had faith for anything. Come what may, I'm standing, right? Floods, winds, whatever. Come what may, I'm standing. See, that is the faith that God is looking for when Jesus is looking for when he returns to the earth. And faith is a noun that initiates belief that produces an action. See, faith is not a verb, it's a noun. It becomes who you are, it becomes part of you. It's a faith that you can hang your whole being on. We demonstrated that the other week, about having the stump, nailing nails in it, and that nail becomes part of that stump. I mean, when it's driven in, and that the word when it's driven into us by this thing of the rhema of Jesus speaking to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, it goes inside us in such a way that it never leaves you. It never leaves you. He said, whom the Son sets free is free. What's the word? Indeed. It's a court term. When the court term is when a sentence is rendered, it won't be revoked. It's not going away. It's a done deal. I like that, don't you? All right, so we'll go on, and it says, when the word it comes and it's being heard and it's united with this faith, we enter, and that gives you and I entrance into the rest that we're going to talk about in just a moment, but you're able to rest on the very promises of God. You know that song says, standing on the promises of God, standing. You remember that? Long old hymn a long time ago. Standing, and sometimes you just have to take a stand on what you know God said, whether anybody else is standing or not. See, your faith does not depend upon what the others are doing. Because others may not be walking by faith. Other people may be walking by flesh, walking by sight, and not by faith. So we can't follow that. We must follow God and our faith and walking by what He said and what He has currently said to you and what He's currently saying to you. I love it that God still speaks. How many of you, God has actually spoken? I'm not saying it has to be an audible voice, but God has spoken to you this past week. God has spoken to you something from the... raise your hand high. See, God is alive. Amen? And He's still a speaking God. Amen? And He wants us to be able to receive it and actually take our faith further than what it currently is. This thing about rest is a rest of satisfaction. A rest of satisfaction. I'm satisfied. I understand what He said, and I'm satisfied with it, and it satisfies me. It's a satisfaction. It's also a rest of completion. A completion that I know God said it, and I know He'll complete what He said. And it's not one that comes out of, I am so worn out, I am so exhausted that I need the rest. That's not the rest that He's talking about entering. He's not talking about rest because you're tired. He's talking about resting because He's spoken. And when He speaks it, you know it's going to happen. So you're satisfied with what He said? How many of you that know that you and I can be dissatisfied with what God just told us? Has anybody in here ever been dissatisfied with what God told you? Well, you're being honest. I mean, you really are. You're being honest. Now, eventually, we become satisfied with it because we realize, you know, saying, oh, I get it. Because when He tells you to do something, He tells you to go somewhere, and it's like, I don't know that I want to do that. You know, see, that's a flesh, that's a carnal thing that sort of wants to persuade us not to do because we don't see the other side of what He said. So when we don't see the other side, a lot of times, you know, we'll have the doubt and we'll wait before we actually go do what He said to go do. How many of you have ever had second and third opportunities to go do what God told you to go do the first time? Yeah, so I see hands all over the place. Even OA's back there saying, yep, this walk of faith is a strange walk, but I'm telling you, it's one of the best walks you'll ever walk. It really is one of the best walks. So it's not out of exhaustion. I'm just wore out. I can't take it anymore. I can't go through it anymore. So I'm just going to have to, no. The rest that you enter is because you know God's promise. It's in you now. And the faith that you have will carry you through on that promise. Oh, that's such a lovely thing, isn't it? All right, but it also, this rest is being situated in any situation. Being situated in any situation. And being situated is this thing about rest, no matter what the situation is. Because there will be situations that will come up that will actually oppose the faith that you have. How many of you, your faith has been tested since you had faith? Wait, wave your hand at me. How many of you have not had your faith tested? Anybody in here, you've not had your faith tested? Okay, is anybody raising their hand? If anybody's raising their hand, even on the inside, it's coming. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a rush. It's coming. It's not bad. It's a good thing. It really is, because if your faith cannot be tested, get rid of it and get one that can. All right, let's go. So it's at harmony with God's promise. Are you at peace? Are you at harmony? The harmony is there's certain elements that are happening inside me that is in harmony with what he said. Flesh, it won't be in harmony with what he said. Flesh will fight what he says. Flesh will want to do what it wants to do. Flesh wants to escape pressure. Faith will lead you to pressure. Right. Okay. So it's in harmony with God's promise. It is composed confidence. You know, God invites us, even in this chapter of faith, you know, the pre-chapter of he's talking about the peace and faith and the rest. He talks about, let us come boldly. Where? Before the throne of judgment. Judgment? Throne of judgment? No, it's the throne of grace. He said, let us come with great confidence. Let us come with boldness. See, we fight that. And we feel like because we've done something wrong, because we have failed, because we have missed the mark, because we have really hadn't demonstrated faith like we really wanted to, that everything is just so. He said, come boldly. Come with boldness to the throne of grace. The throne of grace that he has for us. And what will you find there? Help in your time of need. See, when you're not strong enough, and when you feel like I'm just not getting it, go to the throne of grace boldly. Jesus has paved the way, the pathway to that throne with his own blood and his own life. So let's don't be shy about it. A lot of people, how many of you you missed the mark, and instead of running to God, you sort of drift back a little bit. How many of you have ever experienced that? Yeah, raise it. See, we're being honest again. Sometimes you're just like, and you want to go hide. You want to find a fig leaf. You know, but God, come on. You know, it's almost like Eddie is saying today about the ice cream, bring it. You know, he's our reigning champion, you know, but of homemade ice cream. But see, God is saying, I want you to come to me. He's not one that's going to judge you. He's not one that's going to say, oh, man, I didn't see this coming. God saw it coming. He already knew it. He already paid for it. He's already forgiven you. Just come boldly to him, and you'll get the help that you need to go further than you currently are. That's how great he truly, truly is. All right, and it's an absence of striving. In other words, you're trying to work to get rest. It's not going to happen. You're trying to work to get approved. It's not going to happen. See, faith, in faith, there is works. There are works, right? But you don't work to get faith. It's a believing type thing. You said, okay, I get it. It's him giving me the faith, and it's God's faith. Let us therefore be diligent or eager to enter. He said, you ought to be excited, and you ought to be eager about entering into this race, this rest, to enter into it. So what's holding me back? God's not holding us back. God's not. God's saying, come on, I want you to find this rest. I want you to be able to stand on what I tell you, no matter what you hear elsewhere. You see, and that's the thing about it being inside. It's in you, and it's a gift from God to have this faith inside you, because he's the giver of it. You know why? Because it's his faith. It's his, and it's his salvation he gives you. It's his peace he gives you. It's his rest he gives you. His deliverance he gives you. His healing, he gives you. Amen? Everybody say, he's a good God. I mean, he truly, truly is. And no matter what the enemy says, we should have faith to be able to face whatever it is that we're facing. Whatever's around the corner, our faith should be able to handle that task or handle that event or be able to stand in whatever, in the face of whatever's coming. Does that make sense? All right, let's look. So now the reach. Let's look at the thing about reaching, our reach of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Now faith. Everybody say, now faith. And now faith is. You see, that's what he's telling. He said, now faith is. See, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's yesterday's faith. Yesterday's faith is great. But now faith is happening. You know, we have had faith for other things and don't have faith for today. And God is after that. God is after whatever's in you that is hesitant to fully follow Him. God is after whatever's in you that causes you to stand back or be slow into entering into His promise and His rest, because He wants that out of the way. Because He wants you to be full and faithful, faith-filled, being faithful. So here's this thing. So now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. See, the world is losing hope. We're supposed to be bringing them hope. No matter where you go, we're supposed to be bringing people hope. We should be bringing people hope. Because the enemy has really opened his bag of hopelessness and scattering it all over society and all over the world to hinder us and hinder the world from entering into a faith. So when you don't have hope, you're not going to have faith. When you're all hope is gone, all hope is lost. No. That's from the world. That's not from God. And you and I are carriers of that to be able to bring hope and faith to others. Actually, he's leaning on you. We sing about leaning on Jesus. Jesus is leaning on us. How is that? Because he has sent us just like the Father has sent him. He has sent, you are sent, whether you want to go or not. Really, you are sent by Jesus. God sent Jesus to do the work that he did. And Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. So you and I are sent to this world. We're not sent here on Sunday and that's it. And the enemy sometimes wants to put us in a mindset that says that well, let's see, I got a checklist. Did I pray today? Yep, prayed. Did I read my Bible? Yep. Read my Bible. Did you go to church? Yep. Okay, I did that. All right. Now, what's the rest of the week like? Well, you know, no. See, it's not a checklist. It's a life living. It's how we live our lives, not a list that we try to perform in order to be approved. No, it's not that way. God doesn't work that way. The law works that way. Grace doesn't work that way. And it's the throne of not law, it's the throne of grace. The throne of grace is available for all of us. And it's also the conviction of things not seen. See, or the evidence, one version says the evidence of things not seen. Here's the thing about it. The conviction that you have is the one that you have before God. If you're convicted about something, then this thing about conviction is that it's like a constitutional life. Constitutional living, which our world, our government needs to go back to. Constitutional living. And we need a constitutional lifestyle. In other words, this is what it is, and this is how we're going to live. See, the Constitution, this is how I'm going to live. It's a conviction about how we're going to live. See, your conviction is to God. Or not. So we have this thing that faith, now faith is, it's assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things not seen. Well, I don't see this. Well, you know, the world says seeing is believing. The kingdom says, believing is seeing. Have the faith and see it. But the world said, no, let me see it and then I'll believe it. No, that's not how it works. See, faith is an understanding that I'm overtaken by something that he said, and I know he said it, and I know it's going to come true. And I'm overtaken by that. Overwhelmed by it. And it's come inside me so that it's one of those indeeds. All right. So let's go on. It says, James 2 says that faith produces works. As a result of the works, faith is perfected. See, faith needs to be perfected. And this thing about this word about, and James talks about the expansion, it expands its sphere of operation. It's not just, oh, I got faith in Jesus as my Savior, and that's all the faith that I got. Well, it shouldn't be. You gotta have the faith that he is who he says he is, and he died, and all the effects of what he did, we have the faith for, and we become born again. But then there's a part of the living out of our faith, living out of our salvation, living out what he's put in us. So now, I'm getting sick. Well, do you have faith for healing? Well, I'm running short this week financially. Do you have faith for finances? Well, do you have my marriage is in trouble. Well, do you have faith for God to restore it? And some of us say, I got faith that he'll change him. I got faith that he'll change her. God wants to change you. I've learned so much about that in different ways. Years ago, what was it, 72? When did we go to Toronto? What year? 94? Went to Toronto, and I was praying, God, I really want you to change Brenda. I'm telling you the truth. I give you permission. I really didn't say I give you permission, but I did say, God, I really want you to change Brenda. I mean, just let her have an experience that she'll, you know what she needs to, just go ahead. Well, it was fine. Day one happened and it was fine. And I kept looking over and seeing if Brenda, see if Brenda's getting anything. And then second day we was there, still waiting on God to do something and to have an altar call. And God has already started a number on me. Day one had already started dealing with me about some things in my life. And then I look over and I say, I think she's probably getting, have an altar call. Well, she don't go up, not that one, but I go up. I go up and I'm, Lord, I want whatever you want me to have. I'm fine. I'm good with it. Maybe if I do it, she'll do it. So I went up, and so help me, I was there, and I was standing there, and I said, yes, Lord. But I'm saying, God, honestly, I want my life to be used of you, whatever it looks like, whatever it feels like, whatever it tastes like. I just want my life to be completely used by you. Sound good, right? My feet did not move for another 45 minutes. Stuck to the floor. After about 10 minutes, I'm like, I need to move. I can't move my feet. Two pastors from Georgia that was connected to our group that went. 1'6'3", 1'6'4", I'm 6 foot, and they're an axe handle broad, both of them. They're just huge men. They walk up and said, Terry, do you want to go back to your seat? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to go back. So he's taller than the other one's taller, and he wraps around, wraps around me, and he said, well, let's go. So I got my arms on their shoulders, and they tug, and they pull, and my shirt's up to here, and they cannot move me. They cannot budge. They can move me around, but my feet are not moving. One of them looks at me, and he said, how much do you weigh? At that time, I weighed about 180. I said, about 180, but I ain't got no clue how much my feet weigh right now. One guy got me like this and yanked and pulled and tugged, and he said, I'm done. And I'm like, okay, me too. and that lasts for, literally it lasts for 45 minutes. And I'm asking God, I said, God, what are you telling me? What are you telling me? Why is this happening? I wanted her to get this stuff. Then James Riles, he's no longer with us on this earth. James Riles come walking by, and He was the pastor of the Promise Keepers leader. But he walks over to me and he says, the Lord wants me to tell you something. I said, well, I'm ready to hear it. Give me, and I hope it's got something to do with my feet. You know, and he looks at me and he says, the Lord wants you to know that your feet are stuck because of the glory of God. And when he releases you, your walk is going to be different. So he prayed for me, and soon as he took his hand off of me, I felt like I was going to float. I mean, there was so much release in it that I felt like I was. And he said, "You'll have to learn how to walk. You'll have to learn how to walk this new walk." See, beforehand, I walked. Really, I'm telling you, I walked in a lot of influence of religion. Was that bad? Oh, yeah. I was born again, but I was walking by religion. And then the thing that he taught me and was helping me with was this walk is a walk about freedom, not about bondage. Now, I've been free ever since. I really have. I'm not saying I haven't struggled. I won't say any of that, but he wants to expand our faith to other arenas. That's what he wants to do. So our hearing enlarges the arena that our faith can function in. He wants us, so if we go up to something that we haven't learned, haven't been trained in, but we can have faith for, because we're going to walk with him no matter what. But it expands our reach of faith every time we hear something that we haven't heard before by the Spirit of God. Doubt and deception shrinks our arena of faith. Every time you and I have started having doubt, you know, and deception come into our lives, we shrink back. And God doesn't want us to shrink back. We need to have areas in our lives that we have no understanding of. Lord, I don't understand this. Well, guess what? We get an opportunity to trust him in the midst of us not understanding. So don't feel bad when you don't understand what's happening. I don't understand. Well, trust God. Trust him. He's going to get you through it, and he's going to teach you through it as well. The enemy uses lies and deception to make problems appear bigger than the faith solutions we carry inside us. He'll make it look like it's this huge. And we've got faith inside us that will take out any giant, any large thing that the enemy lies to us about. See, faith will conquer that. Amen? Faith will conquer that. We look at it. Faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. This don't exist. This don't exist. How many of you have ever said, this don't exist, and you open your eyes and there you are? Matter of fact, it is bigger the next time you open your eyes. Faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. Faith denies the problem a space to gain influence. See, your faith denies the problem space to gain influence in yours and my life. Boy, that's good. That's what faith does. And the next is Mark. We'll talk about that some next week. This thing that God wants us to do is by faith. When you start looking at Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, all of them by faith, and everything that they did was by faith. See, that's our walk. That's our example, by our faith. So you and I have the deposit inside us, and he wants us to take it, expand it from the salvation moment and let it enter into every area of our living, no matter what it is. You got wayward children? By faith. By faith. It's not about your works. It's about your believing. It's about your standing. You got other things that are going on. Maybe your job's not working out. Look, maybe you have a boss that is, the King James calls it froward. We don't use that word. I haven't heard any of you use it, and I don't use it either, froward. The word froward means unreasonable. Maybe you have a boss that's unreasonable. He said, and the Bible says, be submissive to those that are in authority over you, even the ones that are froward, even the ones that are unreasonable. I'm telling you, see, you have to have faith to do that. A believing that God's going to work this thing out no matter how bad he treats me. I had a boss one time to throw a hammer at me about 20 feet across the room. He got so mad, he picked it up and went, threw the hammer, and I had to sort of jump and skip to miss it and all that kind of stuff, you know. But he was just so upset at me. And so, you know, my flesh, you know what flesh wanted to do? I asked somebody that question. You wanted to pick it up and sling it back. And I said, no, I wanted a bigger hammer. My flesh wanted to just really pick it up and just really, but I wasn't going to miss. I was better with a hammer than he was. But the flesh wants to do all of that. But I'm telling you the truth, at that very moment, the Lord spoke to my heart inside me. He said, this man needs to be loved. Are you the one? I picked the hammer up, walked back. I didn't get real close to him, but I walked back and laid it over here on the table, and I said, you dropped your hammer. And he looked at me and he said, you're not going to throw it back? And I said, nah. No, I'm not going to throw it back. You must have had a rough day and mine's getting rougher as it goes. I said, but we can get through this. No matter what it is, we can get through it. You know, and he and I, and that was early, he and I became very good friends. We really did. After the hammer. So this thing about our life being lived out, see, it takes faith. Look, it takes faith not to. This is what I feel like doing today. Hey, you and your wife get in a conversation. I'm not going to say anything else. It takes faith to get through that sometimes. I have people say, you know, we never argue. I said, really? We need to hang around y'all a little while, you know. But I said, no, what we do is we have intense discussions. And I said, okay, I get it. We don't argue, we just have intense discussions. I said, okay. But see, the faith walk is one that pleases God. Without faith, it is impossible to bring pleasure from your behavior. He already is pleased with you because of who you are. You're a daughter, you're a son. But it's in your walk. When your walk is in faith and by faith, your behavior becomes pleasing to him. Do you want to please him with everything that you do? Stand up. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you that you're at work in all of us. And Lord, and there's a lot of things that we just really do not understand. But we need those so we can trust you more and broaden the arena of what we have faith to do. We love you, Lord. We know at times we've criticized and we've complained because things didn't seem to go our way. But Father, we want to enter that rest. We want to be at peace and enter that rest that is not from exhaustion, but it is from completion and satisfaction that you are who you say you are and you'll do what you say and what you said you'll do. And we're going to follow you with that faith. Help us to encourage one another as the day goes on and as we live our lives. And Lord, may our walk in faith be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 4 o'clock today, something's going to happen. Ice cream and all the other stuff. God bless you. We'll see you just a little bit later.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.